Needs of monuments such as name or address signs for your home or business, we can help you with those too. Whatever type you need, we work with you to create your perfect monument. Reach out to Cowboy State Monument Company, a division of Sheridan Funeral Home, at 307-683-9200.
Are you happy with your employment situation? Or are you thinking it's time to spring forward into a better job than the one you currently have? Plan now to attend the Career Network Fair, Wednesday, April 24th from 11 to 4 in the Sheridan College Golden Dome. Employers will be able to discuss various opportunities available and to answer any questions you have. This career fair is sponsored by Sheridan College, the Sheridan VA, and Wyoming Workforce Services.
McTeacher Night is this Thursday at McDonald's on Coffeen Avenue, benefiting Woodland Park Elementary. That's right, this Thursday, April 25th, from 5 to 8 p.m., come into McDonald's on Coffeen Avenue, have a great meal, and then a portion of the proceeds will benefit Coffeen Elementary. You'll be served by some of your favorite teachers, administrators, and, of course, the great McDonald's team. McTeacher Night, this Thursday, April 25th, 5 to 8 p.m., benefiting Woodland Park Elementary School. McTeacher Night will be at the Coffeen Avenue location only.
The Bighorn Home Builders Home and Garden Show was another huge success, thanks in part to all the vendors and the community. First Federal was proud to be a major sponsor again. We hope you got a lot of ideas for this spring and summer. Let the team at First Federal Bank and Trust help you achieve your dream of home ownership. We offer a variety of loan programs, refinancing options, and lot and construction loans. Making home happen wherever you are. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Good morning and welcome to Public Pulse. Joining me this morning are Sheridan Dog and Cat Shelter Dog Lead Marcy Horsley and Cat Lead Sue Johnson. Good morning and welcome back to the show, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, it's weird. I don't think I've ever had the dog lead and the cat lead in here at the same time.
I was going to say, I think this is actually the first time in shelter history.
Yeah, I think this is a first that I got both of you. Now, how have things been going over there at the shelter?
Pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Have you guys been getting a lot of people through, or?
It's been somewhat. I mean, I know that we've changed some of our policies and everything, but I mean, we've still been having the same rates that we've had last year, if not more. So still the same continuous people, same flow of stuff. So
good. Yeah. That's good. Now, how many dogs do you have right now?
Currently in house, we have 35.
You've got 35. Mm-hmm. Is that a high number, or is that
for now? Yes. I know in these past couple of years, we've raised our numbers a bit and we've been getting a continuous around 30 around there, but hopefully here soon, we're hopefully going to see some lesser numbers. But
how many kennels do you have open?
Right now I believe we're at four. Last time I was there. Yes.
Now, Sue, how many cats you got?
We have 85 cats right now and 4 guinea pigs.
Now, when it comes to the cats, the number of cats, is that a high number?
It's a high number, but it seems low to me. Because
right, yeah.
When I started, there was over 150 cats when I started.
My gosh. I just can't imagine walking into that room and having 150 cats. Now, I know you keep cats in other areas.
I mean,
they're kind of all over the shelter. Every nook and corner you can put a cat, there's a cat. But I could not imagine the sound of that room they're all hungry. Yeah, I've got two, and they both scream at us first thing in the morning. So I can only imagine what you're walking into. Now, have adoptions been fairly numerous for cats as of late, Sue?
We've got 7 adoptions so far this month. It varies. Around Christmas time, we had, I want to say there was like 21, 24 adoptions in December. November was a high number for adoptions. It just varies. I think springtime, when people are looking for a companion to spend the summer with, then maybe it'll pick up.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to that Barn Cat program that you and I have talked about in the past, I really love that program. Has that picked up since the last time we talked?
Well, actually, we had four go out that weren't typically barn cats.
Yeah.
They were just four that I picked from some. We had some older ones. They're doing fantastic. They all went to the same ranch, and all of them became mousers.
Oh, fantastic.
So, yeah, they don't necessarily have to be a barn cat, in quotation marks.
Yeah. You know, Emmy and I were actually watching, I can't remember what it was, something, but they showed this cat on a ship. And a lot of people don't know, like old sailing ships, having a cat was almost standard. Even the U.S. Navy kept cats just to have them clean out. So I think it's a fantastic idea out there. If you've got any kind of rodent problem, just get yourself a couple cats. Head on down to the shelter.
Yep.
And get yourself a few furry buddies and take them home. What is it? Like, you feed them once or twice and they kind of stick around the area. You can leave them outside.
Yeah. The lady that adopted them, she feeds them, but she said that they're so busy catching mice that they don't really eat that much cat food.
Yeah. Fantastic. That's great to hear. They're doing exactly what they're supposed to do. Now, Marcy, is there ever a time that you tend to see more adoptions, like during the year? I would tend to think, you know, when people are looking at the summer season, wanting a new buddy to run around some of the canyons and the mountains with, they're looking for...
Yeah. During the summer, that's usually whenever, I mean, everybody's going out, they're going hiking, going to the mountains, and a lot of the times they're like, oh, hey, our dog, or if they have one dog, needs a buddy because of their energy levels, or, I mean, summertime is usually when a lot of more opportunities open up for dogs, so... We do see an uptick in adoptions there. So
yeah, I would have thought, you know, man, because there was a time in my life where it's single guy, you know, didn't have my kid at the time. It was pretty much just me. And I was like, you know, I need a dog.
Oh, yeah.
But I will admit I was not ready for a dog at that point. Now, back in January, you did change the policy of walkthroughs.
Yes, we did.
How's that worked out?
I will say it has helped tremendously. We have definitely seen a change in our dogs. They are a bit more relaxed. They're a bit more calm. And especially whenever going in to meet new people or even during their meet and greets, they present themselves a bit more and they're able to actually show their true personalities because they don't have to worry about somebody walking into their environment and all of that. So
they're not all worked up by the time you get
them. Yeah, no, they're doing amazing.
Have you guys received any blowback on that?
We have a little bit. We've had a little bit of a resistance against it. But I mean, after seeing how well it's changed the dogs and how well it is impacting them, I mean, it's like they don't even matter. The bad comments are just, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, because the dogs are doing well and they're being presented on a good paw.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of say, right?
Yep.
And the better that they're presented, the more likely they are to head out the door.
Oh, yes. We've actually, I will say, since we have changed that policy, I believe that we've had an uprise in adoptions.
Fantastic. So. That's good to hear.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that's something that all the way back, you know, when Jill and I used to talk about it. She used to talk about how so many people would come into that shelter and see these dogs kind of fence fighting or just ramped up on that gate. And they're like, no, thanks. I'm going to skip that one. But that's not the usual behavior of the dog.
No. Every dog in the kennel environment will act completely different once they're outside of that kennel. And it's just because there's so many others around them that are causing them to get amped up. And I mean, don't get me wrong. Whenever I walk in the mornings, they're still just as rowdy and wanting to get out, but that's because they want to get out.
Yeah.
So,
you know, on my private side, I've got a dog, Gertie. You guys know her very well. You know, the first time I really heard her bark and cut loose, I looked at Emmy and I said, wow, that's really strange. And she goes, what do you mean that's strange? Because she took her to work and she saw Gertie in that environment. And she was a different dog there. And she was allowed to roam around and kind of pal around with everybody. And yet she still had a tendency to gate or fence fight.
Yep.
Just got wrapped up in the moment, I guess.
Yeah, it's all about, like, they get very protective. Their kennel area is their home.
Yeah.
That's where they reside. And just like how we were talking back in January, I mean, you go into that environment, you go into their area, and they don't want anything to do with it.
You're an invader.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. They see it as a threat.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I looked at Emmy and I was like, she never barks. And she's like, yeah, she does the time. So, yeah, there is a different attitude that dogs present. And that's good to hear that that policy has worked.
Oh, yes.
And it's good to hear that you're starting to feel like you're getting them out a little bit more. One more question for you on the dog side. And you know what? I'm going to ask Sue this question, too. You guys, for a while, it was a policy to trade with other shelters, different dogs. You know, if you can't get one moved, maybe you can get it moved over in Gillette or get it moved down in Ten Sleep. So you did a lot of transporting and trading around. Marcy, you still do that with the other shelters? Or now, I do know that for a while, there was a disease that was going around, and you guys stopped that because you didn't want to infect any dogs around here.
Mm-hmm.
Has that started back up again?
So the only thing with that is we only transfer in-state now because of the Brucella canis within Montana and all of the effects that could come with that within dogs. Mm. We've really restricted the amount of dogs we get in from Montana. So other than that, we still work with Gillette. It's more or less, it's if they have space, then we try, and we do try trading. It's just we've been a little slow with trying to figure that stuff out, but I know here soon I am actually looking for more transfers.
Yeah.
So,
what about you, Sue? Do you guys ever transfer cats?
I have not.
No.
When I first started, I took three cats that had leukemia down to a sanctuary in Utah, but that's the only time I was involved in a transfer.
But that was to kind of give them a spot to live out the rest of their days in comfort.
Mm-hmm.
How cool is that? Well done. I think that's really neat. All right. Now, the shelter did take part in the Home and Garden Show. Kind of a big thing for you guys.
Oh,
you look
yeah.
forward to doing this every year. How did it go?
It was actually really nice. I mean, our sponsors were with John Deere and C&B Operations, and it was really being outside. It was able to be nice, and it was a bit chilly Friday and Saturday, but Sunday it was a really nice, calm pace. I mean, we did get a little bit of traffic, not too much, but thankfully, we were able to walk around some dogs on Saturday and get some of them seen. So,
which dogs did you take?
We took Newt and Liam, and they both did amazing. They are still both available at the shelter. We did get some applications on them, but it's just a matter of approval at this point.
Yeah, so they're more than likely.
Oh, yes.
Already got a home. It just hasn't
we're
been rubber
so.
Stamped
yep.
yet. Well, that's actually good to hear. Sue, I know it is so difficult to... I mean, there's a reason why people call tough situations herding cats. You can't really take a bunch of felines to these types of shows, can you?
No, it stresses them out way too much. And people would, like with the dog situation in kennels, people would be seeing an anxious cat and think that that's what they're like. So,
and yeah, automatically assume that, well, I don't want this cat.
Right.
She hides in
court.
We
didn't subject any of them to that.
When it
well,
comes...
we did bring Themis. Sorry, I forgot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
On Friday, we brought Themis, our blind kitty, up at the shelter, and she just she just stuck with AJ the whole time, was sitting in a baby sling. So
see, I guess that's exactly why you took her, because she was blind and didn't know what the heck was going on around
exactly.
her anyway.
Yeah,
everybody loves her.
as far as she was concerned, she was just cuddled up.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, when it comes to cats, like I said, I've got to. I own a. A cat that was found on the streets of Cheyenne. We call her a trash kitty because she was found in a dumpster. But their attitudes when it comes to like crowds and people, much less receptive than a dog. So that's got to be a big challenge trying to show them. Sue, what's your policy for showing cats? If I were to walk up today and say, hey, I'd love to see some cats today.
Say, what kind of personality would you like? Do you like long hair, short hair, certain color, et cetera, et cetera? And we just go into the big adoption room or into our boardroom where there's other cats or the lobby and say, okay, here's this one, their personality, et cetera, et cetera. And usually we can get somebody hooked up.
Now, when it comes to cats, is their shelter attitude a whole lot different than what they would be at home?
Or absolutely.
Is it?
Absolutely,
that
yes.
Too.
You know, most of them live in kennels. Of course, they get to come out during the day. The people, a lot of people get back with me and let me know how they're doing, send me pictures and tell me how amazing they're doing. And they just need homes. They need a home.
And so there is a bit of an attitude. Well, I guess attitude is the wrong word. Stress, I guess, on cats in the shelter,
I think, like dogs. They need their own space. You know, some of them get along well with other cats and dogs or whatever. Some of them prefer to be an only pet. Yeah. So it's a matter of the people, what they want, and how we can pair them together.
Yeah. And there's some, there's even one of my good friends, single guy, lives alone. I'm always telling him, get a cat, bro.
Yeah, I got the perfect one for him. Tell him to come up.
I will.
Coco.
On that, I got to take a quick commercial break. We'll have more with the Sheridan Dog and Cat Shelter just after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE, 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
The Bighorn Home Builders Home and Garden Show was another huge success, thanks in part to all the vendors and the community. First Federal was proud to be a major sponsor again. We hope you got a lot of ideas for this spring and summer. Let the team at First Federal Bank and Trust help you achieve your dream of home ownership. We offer a variety of loan programs, refinancing options, and lot and construction loans. Making home happen wherever you are. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Members of Range Telephone Cooperative are invited to attend the 71st annual meeting Tuesday, May 7th at 7 p.m. at the Best Western in Sheridan. In-person attendees will be eligible for a variety of door prizes, including a $1,000 grand prize. Remember to return your registration and ballot today. Range looks forward to seeing their members during the 71st annual meeting of the members of Range Telephone Cooperative Incorporated on Tuesday, May 7th at the Best Western in Sheridan. McTeacher Night is this Thursday at McDonald's on Coffeen Avenue, benefiting Woodland Park Elementary. That's right, this Thursday, April 25th, from 5 to 8 p.m., come into McDonald's on Coffeen Avenue, have a great meal, and then a portion of the proceeds will benefit Coffeen Elementary. You'll be served by some of your favorite teachers, administrators, and, of course, the great McDonald's team. McTeacher Night, this Thursday, April 25th, 5 to 8 p.m., benefiting Woodland Park Elementary School. McTeacher Night will be at the Coffeen Avenue location only.
Hi, this is Belle with Sheridan Media's Coyote Morning Show. We all know Sheridan is the best place in Wyoming to call home. Beautiful parks, fantastic pathways, and really great people, all surrounded by rolling hills and the majestic bighorns. Let's all pitch in and help with spring cleaning by participating in the annual Trees for Trash program. It's easy, it's free, and you'll receive a Colorado blue spruce seedling just for helping out. Bring your load of trash to the city landfill on East Ridge Road between 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. Saturday, May 4th to get your free tree. Let's all recognize and support this year's Trees for Trash sponsors with a big old thank you to ERA Carroll Realty, U.S. Bank, Wyoming Corporate Office, Landon's Greenhouse and Nursery, Sheridan County, and of course, the City of Sheridan. Mark your calendar now for Saturday, May 4th, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the 2024 Sheridan Media Trees for Trash. May the 4th be with you.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm Floyd Whiting, and this morning I'm speaking with Sheridan Dog and Cat Shelter Dog Lead, Marcy Horsley, and Cat Lead, Sue Johnson. Now, we were talking about in the first part that, this is the first time I've actually gotten both leads in the studio at the same time. And so having you both here, I would want to ask just one, what is the difference besides the animals that you take care of between the two positions?
Well, obviously, there's a difference between cats and dogs.
Right.
I'd say our setups are a little different. So dogs, we have generally two departments. We have one, the adoption side and the stray side. And within that, all of our kennels are just kind of lined up in a half rectangle in a sense. And then cats, they just have them all over.
Yeah.
You
really do kind of have them all. I mean, it's not like you had a choice with that many cats.
But the main thing that we do is we make sure that they're healthy and taken care of, and, you know, and get them adopted.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
But so our jobs are similar, just with different animals.
Now, you know, when it comes to the spay and neuter program, this was postponed a while ago. And is it going again?
Yep. Yep. We do. From what we know, it is going back up. I don't know as to why it was postponed. I don't want to step on anybody's toes with that, but we do have, we are able to, my bad. We did get funding through Denise Chiropractic and
That's fantastic.
Dynas.
And through the Arianaries. They're, they donate to us. I think we were not having it before. It was because we ran out of funding.
Yeah.
But we're up and running again.
Wow. Thank you to them. That's fantastic.
Yes, very much. Thank you to.
What a massive community service. I mean, I know a lot of people may not see the impact of that. But you ladies certainly do, don't you?
Absolutely.
And I don't know how many puppies and kittens have come through there over the course, you know, since Emmy left. There was always puppies and kittens, and you got to find them homes. And I do realize that they tend to not stick around very long.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
But that is taking the opportunity for another dog to find a home.
It really does.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do want to thank them for funding that, because there are far too many animals out there that are not spayed and neutered.
And if they are not spayed or neutered later on, then it's just a continuous cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I mean, we'll get nothing but puppies and kittens in, and it really, we do really appreciate it.
Now, if I want to take part in this program, what do I need to do?
You just come up. We have a application in a sense. We call it just a voucher. It goes through basic information. And then I do know for pricing cats for a male neuter, it would be $30. For a female, it would be $40. And then for dogs, for a male neuter, it would be $50. And then for a female spay, it would be $60. So it is kind of like a discounted price.
Yeah.
And it is something that... you can take it. I believe there are, I believe every vet that we work with, or every vet in Sheridan County does accept these vouchers. But you would have to double check on that. Of course, I don't want to say anything that, but yeah, that's pretty much it. It's just a quick little fill out. And then I know that we require the deposit at time of filling it out, but that's about it.
And that's fantastic. That is a reduced price to get that taken care of. Now, another question I've got, the shelter operates a vaccination clinic. When is that firing up?
That will start May 24th from 9 to 3. Each vaccination costs $15 each. It's distemper for dogs, FVRCP for cats, rabies, and a city license. Each one of those costs $15 each. You will also get a basic vet wellness check. Like, say the vet will weigh your dog or cat and listen to their heart and lungs.
Give them a quick once-over. Mm-hmm, make sure everything's good to go.
And that will be every fourth Friday through September. And you can call for appointments starting in May.
Now, the reason why we got that new appointment system is because of the wellness check, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And that probably doesn't take a whole... you know, a lot of time to stop in there, get that vaccination, get the animal checked out. And if there's any problems, you can go to your vet and get that sorted. Now, I've had to do that, I think, twice in the past year alone for the cat, my cat, because she's a pain in the butt who loves to eat plastic. I do not know. Trash kitty. I don't know. Now, cats get the exact same vaccinations as dogs, Sue, or is there a difference there?
They get the FVRCP, which is for feline AIDS, feline leukemia, a couple others I can't think of off the top of my head, instead of distemper shots, as in for dogs. Mm-hmm. But all cats and dogs can get rabies shots.
All right, fantastic. So we can take our cats to those clinics as well, folks. So make sure that they're up on their vaccinations. I will admit, Emmy's the one that kind of handles all of that. And she was great about getting my cat taken care of during one of these clinics. Because, like a typical dad, I let that one lapse. I mean, she's in the house. She doesn't go outside. So, you know. But just to be safe and to be a responsible pet owner.
And Sheridan, it's the law. You have to have rabies.
There I was going to say.
Yes, absolutely.
We've actually, Sheridan County, from what I was told, we've had a really big uprise in rabies. And
really?
Just wild animals like raccoons and bats and all of that. So, yes, please make sure that you have rabies up to date with your animals.
And just to kind of build on what you were talking about there, Marcy, you know, every year we get reports here in the newsroom about another rabies case being found somewhere. So make sure that you're getting that taken care of, folks. You do not want that to happen. Ladies, I want to thank you so much for coming in this morning and speaking with me. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Well, thank
and
you.
I had both leads with me today.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. When we return, we're going to speak with the Sheridan Advocacy and Resource Center. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan. Cool.
The Bighorn Home Builders Home and Garden Show was another huge success, thanks in part to all the vendors and the community. First Federal was proud to be a major sponsor again. We hope you got a lot of ideas for this spring and summer. Let the team at First Federal Bank and Trust help you achieve your dream of home ownership. We offer a variety of loan programs, refinancing options, and lot and construction loans. Making home happen wherever you are. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Mark April 26th on your calendars for something truly special. Join Compass Center for Families at the historic Sheridan Inn for the annual Light of Hope Breakfast, a gathering of hearts and hands dedicated to making a difference in Sheridan County. This year, they are recognizing the Sheridan County YMCA as their champion for children. And the best part? It's absolutely free. RSVP by calling Compass Center for Families or emailing Andrea at compass4families.org.
The grass is greening up and things are happening at Kendrick Golf Course. The course looks to be in great shape and the clubhouse is prepped for use. While there are a lot of new things happening, rates are still extremely reasonable, making Kendrick Golf Course Sheridan's best golf value. Whether you are an avid golfer or someone just learning the game, Kendrick is the perfect course for you. Golf this season at Kendrick Golf Course.
This is the captain with Captain Clean. Are you noticing unnecessary dust in your home? If so, your ductwork may be telling you it's time for a cleaning. HVAC and furnace cleaning will undoubtedly optimize your furnace's performance and keep your indoor air quality free of unnecessary dust and allergens. If you like clean air and lower energy bills, call our experts at Captain Clean today and schedule your next HVAC cleaning. Captain Clean, affordable choices for healthy living.
This public service announcement sponsored by Pilch Engineering, providing environmental engineering services to Wyoming.
Who wants to play chicken poop bingo? Our 4-H club set a goal to raise $10,000 to support Wyoming State Fair Endowment and improvements for the Sheridan County Fairgrounds.
How the game works. There are 100 squares for $100 each, and place 3 chickens on the bingo board. The first chicken to poop on their number wins $1,000, second wins $500, and third wins $250. If you are interested, please call Jessica Barnes at 307-630-9958.
Hey there, it's James Timberlake, your friendly host on Swap Chop. Join me every weekday morning at 8:25 a.m. on News Talk 930 and 103.9 FM KROE. Whether you're looking to buy, sell, or trade, Swap Shop is the place to be. It's quick, it's hassle-free, and the results speak for themselves. We also post the Swap Shop listings on SheridanMedia.com. Swap Shop, your go-to destination for all things swapping. Weekdays at 8:25 a.m. on News Talk 930 and 103.9 FM KROE.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Lloyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, I am joined by Sheridan Advocacy and Resource Center Executive Director Yvonne Swanson and Outreach Coordinator Shelby Traub. Good morning, ladies, and welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Oh, I love having you on here whenever I can get you
on. We love coming.
It's you know, you and I always end up having these shows, Yvonne, where first you and I just generally get along, but mm-hmm. we can talk about some pretty deep, impactful stuff. And this month is no different. First off, how's it been down at this center?
Well, it's been busy.
It's been busy,
which is sad. But, you know, I have four full-time advocates, and they are very busy. We just did that Dining for a Cause. We'll probably talk about it later.
We absolutely will.
But, you know, I was at Dining for a Cause, and I had a meeting, and I went back to the office, and I had three advocates, and they were all with people. When I went to the office, they were all busy. Yeah. And that's how it's been. It's been pretty consistent and busy. When we're working with all violent crime victims, we are seeing all violent crime victims. So domestic violence, sexual assault, and stalking, and then home invasion, burglary, criminal entry, property damage, the survivors of homicide.
Yeah.
So we're seeing,
my God,
all of those people that have had the worst day or night of their lives, and they're coming in for support.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing. And plus they're working on prevention and education type events for this month, being Sexual Assault Awareness Month. So we're just kind of layering up on all of the activities that they're doing.
Now, when I talked to you last time, I asked you how many advocates you could use. If you were in a dream scenario, how many
do you have? Well, you know,
seven.
I think six would be good. And it just opens it up for so many more things.
Yeah.
Because when you have that many advocates and they are being able to split the victims that we saw how many, 58 last month, 83 the month before, 86 the month before.
Mm-hmm.
That's still a significant amount of people because we, like I said last time, we see them more than once. We talk to them for longer than 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Our organization is a place where you come in and you talk until you're done talking. We don't make 15-minute appointments or an hour appointment. We work until they're ready to leave.
Until they feel good.
Until they're ready to leave. When they feel like they are in a place where they feel like they have enough information, resources, and they feel safe to move forward with their day.
And those who don't, you relocate.
We can relocate them. If they feel like they are not going to find the safety and the resources that they need in our community. And when I say resources, I mean like family support, other support systems.
A support system.
They will ask to be relocated or assistance in relocation.
And we're going to touch on why this Dining for a Cause was so beneficial. You were the beneficiary of First Federal Bank and Trust's latest Dining for a Cause. First off, how did it go?
It went good.
Yeah?
It went good. I appreciated PO News and their staff. I know how hard it can be to be a server, and we were right in their way.
Yeah.
I apologized every time. I was like, I'm so sorry. Here I am right in your way again. And they're like, they were just great. But it was very consistent and busy. And, you know, we made some new relationships.
I love that.
And that was what was great, too. Shelby was able to come down and being able to just sit down and talk. She actually got to talk to Mayor Bridger.
I sure did. It was great. And a lot of the community members that came to that had a lot of questions about what we do, and it still amazes me, no matter how many times we're out there in the public, how many people still are so curious about what we do, and they just don't know. And so we love answering the questions. That's my favorite part about being at one of those events, is just getting to talk about all the amazing things we do.
When it comes to something like the Advocacy and Resource Center, I mean, Yvonne, I've got you on here quite mm-hmm. a bit, you know, but the majority of the public, like you said, they may know you exist, but they don't know what you do until they need you, right?
Right.
And then they walk through that door and realize, you know, and I'm not saying this about everybody, but the realization of how vital and critical this type of work is for a community. You know, Yvonne, like you said, you know, 83, did you say 83 people?
83 people.
In a month?
Yes, in March, yep.
That is incredible. That is an incredible number.
It is. And that was like 700 contacts. That was mm-hmm. meeting with them, talking with them, calling them about court, meeting with them for protection orders, problem solving, safety planning, you know, making sure that they were going to be okay. That's 700 different conversations that the four advocates had.
Now, so a lot of folks stopped by. You got to see, mm-hmm. I'm sure a lot of friends stopped by as well.
Sure.
Saya, right?
Yeah.
That's always kind of fun. Tell me how these funds are going to benefit the center. Because one thing that I really like about these events is you get funds that you can use in a manner in which you can use no other grants or anything from the government, right?
Well, for government and even local funding sometimes. So when I write federal and state grants, it is specific. When I'm getting VOCA money, Victim of Crime Act money, I can only use it for victims of crime.
Yeah.
So it is specific on like, well, you can use it for this, but you can't use it for that. So I use a lot of state and federal money for staffing, for salaries, for operational costs. So the unrestricted money is what we call it in our nonprofit world. The $10,000 that we are making can go to help a victim anywhere they are for anything that they need. I don't have to prove to the state government that they need it because they were a crime victim. I can just be like, you need help with this right now. You need me to pay for a day of daycare so you can go and find a job. I can do that for you.
Yeah. Yeah. See, and it's things like that that we just don't think about until the situation is presented in front of us, right?
Right.
One thing that you always touched on, probably because you've seen it so many gosh dang times, and that's slash tires.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tires. Nobody will replace the tire. I can't get funding for that. But you know what? It seems to be a thing. A broken window, a broken windshield, slash tire.
Or even when a victim has to leave their home and they have to leave all of their, information like their ID, their birth certificate, social security cards. If they need help replacing those items, we can use those funds for that as well.
They all cost dollars to fill out those applications.
Absolutely, they do. Now, when it comes to like situations like that, that's why this funding is so critical. That's why the support of the community is so critical in your line of work. Because if a mother or a father has got to flee in the middle of the night with their child, they're not, and maybe they've never had the opportunity, or maybe the spouse controls all of that, thinking, well, she's not going to leave without her social security card. She's not going to leave without all of their birth certificates. Mm-hmm. So I have control. Mm-hmm. And that's something that these abusers are very good about doing, figuring out these little tiny ways to control their victims.
But we've had abusers literally take green cards and work visas and hide them and lock them up just to keep people in the house. Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? You can't go anywhere.
You can't,
And you can't get another job.
We don't ever want a victim that has made that move to leave to have to go back and associate with their offender, their abuser, just to get a piece of paper that we have no... We can help you do that.
Yeah.
We don't want you to have to go back for that. It's not worth the safety risks.
Absolutely. You know, and it's just another way for an abuser to hobble their victim.
Absolutely.
And make sure that they can't go anywhere. So you can use these funds for that. You can use these funds to get the victim out of the location, get them to a safe spot, and then help them get a cell phone so they can contact their mother or clothes for the kids, that kind of stuff.
Most definitely. And cell phones, everybody has a cell phone. If you did not have your cell phone today, what would you be doing?
No, yeah.
Like you pay your bills on your cell phone. You fill out applications on your cell phone. That's how a job is going to get a hold of you. That's how you connect with your doctor. Like, so a cell phone, and we're lucky, like we figure out the track phone where you don't have to spend a whole lot of money on a track phone or something like that, but it costs money.
Yeah.
And when you get down to the basics of power and control and what an offender is controlling in a relationship, by the time a victim has the courage or is just too tired to do it any other way, they come to see us And they don't have the finances to even start some of those basic things that we take for granted every day.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. We take it for granted until our power is completely taken away. Control is completely taken away from us.
And a cell phone's the first thing to go.
In lot of these, because I don't want you to contact
or turning it off as soon as, you know, the victim leaves, it's disconnected.
Yeah, because they control the bill, don't they?
Yeah. Well, if I disconnect this, how are you going to contact people? How are you going to contact anyone to help you?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so we see victims that end up going back to their relationship, not because they feel safe, not because things have changed.
Because they got to survive.
It's because that's probably the easiest way for them. They at least know their kids are going to get fed. There's going to be a roof over their heads. And they can have their phones back.
I hate that so bad.
It sucks.
I hate that so bad. Oh my gosh, I hate that.
So if we can kind of help them through those roadblocks of like, well, now what am I going to do? Well, then now what am I going to do? I can't afford the diapers. I can't afford formula. How am I going to do this without them?
Yeah.
So it's constant navigating with victims. And like Yvonne said earlier, that 700 contacts, it's because their situations are changing on a daily basis sometimes.
Yeah.
And so we have to reevaluate, okay, what barrier is in up next, you know, what's the biggest barrier now? How do we tackle that? How do we help you navigate to get to the next step until they can finally break free?
And it's not always just, you know, the victims of abuse, first off, which is just horrendous enough as is, you know, to think that some poor mom out there is saying, well, my kids will get fed. I'll just take the beating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hate that so bad. But also the people who've been robbed.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no idea where the other house key went now. They must have taken it with them.
Mm-hmm.
And now I don't feel safe in my own home.
Right. It was kind of weird. Oh, man, 5-6 years ago, we had kind of like a bunch of people walking home from the bar and ending up in people's cars or on their front porches and just sleeping it off. Probably pretty harmless people. But like such an invasion of their safety, of their home, of their privacy, that they're like, if this could just happen,
you know,
and this person was nice, but like my sense of safety has been rocked.
Absolutely.
And so we do talk about like different things that you can do, making sure you're locking your doors, maybe, you know, Ring cameras or some type of camera thing or, you know, other safety devices to help you feel safe at night.
And the times, they are changing. I grew up in Wyoming, and when I lived in the bigger cities, I locked stuff up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not stupid. But living out in the country, I never locked anything, you know. And my wife comes from, you know, right outside of Minneapolis, and she's looking at me like my face just melted off of my skull. She's like, what are you doing not locking the car? What are you doing not locking the house at night? That was so alien to her that now, you know, and then we had that rash of burglaries where people were breaking into cars. They were taking all your stuff out of there. And, you know, it starts that way.
Right.
And then they start getting greedy and, well, might as well check the door, see if that's open. So, folks, it's not yesterday.
No,
it is. Lock it up. You know, and I had a sergeant in the Army once tell me that even padlocks keep honest people honest.
Right.
Just lock it up.
So many things are crime of opportunity.
Yes.
And if it looks easy, I might as well do it. You're just going to leave your bicycle out here. I might as well just take it.
Well,
oh, look at this fancy
there.
Skateboard. Yeah. I mean, it's just a crime of opportunity. Years back, some kids just went through our neighborhood and took all the quarters out of my car.
Wow.
I got a check for, you know, like $650, but I was like, no, you know what they should have done is came and washed my car. That was my car washing money.
They should have came
and just washed my car. And it is, you know, we used to be able to be like, this is our neighborhood and I know everybody who lives in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
And the people that I see walking around my neighborhood are people I see walking around my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a familiar thing. And you might not know everybody, but people are familiar.
Yeah.
And there are so many new people in our community that it's not familiar anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's not a bad thing. Growth is inevitable.
It's not a bad thing. It's just different.
And we have to keep our heads on swivels, right? Until we get to know them.
Right.
Everyone's a stranger.
Sure.
It's just better to be safe than sorry. Now, speaking of of safe than sorry, let's recognize April. April is a month when we can take a step back and look at something. What are we looking at this month?
It is Sexual Assault Awareness Month.
Tough subject. One that we talk about quite a bit.
Yes. It's because it's embarrassing. It's because when victims come forward, they aren't believed. It's because sometimes when they do everything right, whether they report it to law enforcement, go to the hospital and have an exam, go through the prosecution, it still doesn't help them through their trauma, and you don't always get a conviction.
Yeah.
And so it is one of the hardest crimes, but one of the biggest ones that creates trauma in somebody's life and changes it forever.
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 And I think that's something a lot of people have got to acknowledge. This happens once.
Mm-hmm.
And you will never, ever be the same person.
And Shelby, do you know how, I don't know the statistics, most sexual assaults happen by somebody you know.
So I don't know the statistics on that, but I do know that last year we served over 30 children of sexual mm-hmm. assault and between 25 and 30 adults of sexual assault last year.
Yeah.
And,
I thought was a lot when I looked it up. I was like, oh my gosh. We served way more kids than we did adults for sexual assault, and it just tore my heart apart.
Absolutely.
You know, because when we're doing the work, you don't really realize, I guess, I don't realize how many victims I'm serving of just this crime until you sit back and you're looking at reports just to see. And, yeah, it really shocked me.
Yeah, because when you're doing the work itself, that's what you're focused on.
Mm-hmm. You're not worried about numbers
at all. Yeah, to heck with those.
Yeah.
I'm here for them.
Yeah.
And the children assaults are by somebody they know.
Mm-hmm.
It is by somebody who is in their life, somebody that their family trusts, somebody that they trust, and everything is ruined for them.
And that's a huge stigma that has got to be broken down. It mm-hmm. has to be understood that it is not typically by a stranger.
Yeah.
It's not by a stranger.
Yeah. I can remember that. Man, you remember that in the 80s, Yvonne?
Watch out for the guy in the back alley with the
right,
mask.
Right. The strangers, they were everywhere, right?
Stranger danger.
Stranger danger.
They're going to come and get you.
Yep.
They don't.
But see, that's that.
They don't.
Statistically, they don't.
Most of the time, they don't. I mean, of course, there is that stranger who's just looking for an opportunity.
Right.
Right. That's why all women walk from the grocery store with their keys in their hand and ready to clobber somebody on their way to their car.
Taught my daughter how to do that.
Yeah. We all do it. Men don't do that. Anyways, that's a whole nother story. But but women do that. And the people that you really have to be aware of is, oh, no, he's my friend. He's safe.
Yeah.
Is he, though?
Yeah.
He might be for you.
Just be more protective of the kids, right?
And definitely. Believe them.
Yeah,
believe
and
believe your children.
Believe them. You know, that's a better statistic to talk about is how many children false report. Hardly any.
Yeah.
Hardly any children false report a sexual assault.
Yeah.
I mean, it's below 10% of kids that
know how to report that.
Well, especially at a super young age, you think, where are they pulling this out?
If they're going to talk mm-hmm. about something and something is going to come out that is so inappropriate, you're like, where did you hear that? Where did you learn that? They learned it from somebody, and it probably wasn't okay.
Yeah, and it's time to listen.
So you need to figure out where that's coming from.
And once you listen to them, reach out to the appropriate people for that situation. Instead of trying to dig for information yourself, that's probably the worst thing you can do
as a parent. There's professionals that can help you.
Yes, don't do that. Yeah, of course, give your child support, and then contact the right people that can...
And
I'll be with that
later on. When we have people that come in and they're young people and they start to disclose something to us, we're like, hey, would you mind telling my friend this?
Yeah.
We're going to have my friend officer.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, safe. Come, safe. Bring
and,
in the
and
badge.
And they are safe.
Yeah.
And they know how to ask the mm-hmm. questions, because you never want to change a story. You never want to put words into a little person's mouth.
Yeah.
And you never want to make them feel like they need to make you happy.
Yeah.
And little people will do that.
Yeah, they'll try to please. Yeah.
We call them leading questions. We cannot ask leading questions. And then he touched you here, right?
Right, right.
And the little kid is always going to be like, yes.
Yep.
Is that where
you
want them to have touched me? Right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's right. You know, and you can talk a little person into agreeing with a grown-up because they think they're supposed to agree with the grown-up.
Right. Respect the elders, right?
So it is very, very important that if you hear a child that starts disclosing something, it's to listen. You don't have to cut them off and say you don't want to hear it, but don't put words into their mouth. Let them tell their story and then find the appropriate people, like mm-hmm. Shelby said, to take it the next step.
And then call Tom Ringley.
Just one other thing too. I have three sons, and one thing I've tried to teach them is we don't keep secrets. Mm-hmm. And I just want to put that out there for the public, maybe to pass along to friends, but we don't do secrets in my house. We do surprises, sure. You know, but just even changing the vocabulary around your house, using the proper terms for body parts is also really important too.
Now I've got less than a minute left. Tomorrow, we're going to wear denim, right?
Is it tomorrow? Yes. The 24th.
Yes.
Denim day.
All right. Wear denim in support of this observation
awareness.
Of April.
Yeah.
All right. I'm hoping to see a lot of denim tomorrow. I'm going to be wearing mine. I'm going to go home and dig it right out and put it on the bed so know where it's at.
Take pictures. Send it to us.
I actually will. All right. Now, I was going to get into other services, but Yvonne, shoot that to me if you would, please, because I'll get that up online when I write a story about this.
I will.
And I want to thank you, ladies, for coming
thank
in this
you.
Morning.
Thank you
we
for
never
having
have
us.
Time.
It's always a pleasure.
We have so much to talk about all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE. At 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
The Bighorn Home Builders Home and Garden Show was another huge success, thanks in part to all the vendors and the community. First Federal was proud to be a major sponsor again. We hope you got a lot of ideas for this spring and summer. Let the team at First Federal Bank and Trust help you achieve your dream of home ownership. We offer a variety of loan programs, refinancing options, and lot and construction loans. Making home happen wherever you are. First Federal Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Have you been into Connect Home Center and seen their store remodel? You'll be inspired with all their new displays. And Connect is now an authorized Marvin window dealer. As part of their remodel celebration, you can enter the Connect Home Center Spring Sweepstakes for a chance to win a $300 Connect gift card. Enter for a chance to win on the contest page at SheridanMedia.com now through April 26th. And swing by Connect Home Center at 1836 South Sheridan Avenue in Sheridan for all your spring projects.
Good health. Everybody wants it. Not everybody's got it, but the Health Nut has it. An entire health food grocery store and gift shop. Organic salad bar, soup, sandwich, and smoothies counter to sit and have the most healthy lunch in town. An aisle after aisle of health-giving supplements. You want it. The Health Nut's got it. And everything else you need for a healthy life. The Health Nut in Sheridan's 5th Street Mall.
This is Kim Love. I have the good news many of you have been waiting for. Frackleton's will be reopening as soon as possible. The biggest thing slowing down our reopening will be our ability to staff the restaurant. So if you are interested in working for Frackleton's or know of anyone who would be interested, please stop by the Country Bounty offices at 303 South Main or email your resume to kimlove@sheridanmedia.com. Look forward to having Frackleton's back better than ever.
So is the well you have the water well you wished you had? 307 Wildcat Well Service is a homegrown local well drilling company that knows everything about where your best water is and how to get it to you. So if you want a second well or just to make the well you got taste better and run stronger, 307 Wildcat Well Service is a local company with a local price. 307 Wildcat Well Service on Facebook or look for their ad in the business directory under Water Wells in a Country Bounty.
Cool, clear water.
Live music and dancing are back for a second round. Swing into Sheridan is back with another live music event for all ages at the Sheridan Inn. It's something fun and safe for everyone. The upcoming show is April 26th featuring Brandon James and the Yehus. The cost is just $10 a person. So swing into Sheridan with the music of Brandon James and the Yehus. Friday, April 26th, 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. at the historic Sheridan Inn.